Wrap it, slap it, smack it on a bing bong.
I don't want to do that. I break way too many bongs with my giant hammer of a penis. No. I break them because I'm an idiot. That has nothing to do with me.
Speaking of big whoops, Jeremy Gaines is here on time. Ladies and gentlemen, we are blessed with the He-Man himself.
He definitely is the He-Man of this podcast. I'm going to be your man at arms, and Dez, you'll be my battle cat so I can ride you right into the fucking thick of things.
I will be your Jesus Christ. Courtney Cox was hotter when she had cheeks.
She was cute in this movie. That's funny.
Oh my gosh. So this movie, I won't say that this movie started my yeah. obsession with Courtney Cox, because she was in a show, if you guys remember this, called Misfits of Science, that was on TV for about 7 episodes. And I fell in love with the show.
I do remember that. Just the name of it.
Oh my gosh.
I remember the name of it. I don't necessarily remember the show, but
I have no idea what you're talking. I thought I was the biggest Courtney Cox fan.
Oh no. She got her start in the Bruce Springsteen video.
Yes. Yes, she did.
And you know what, Dez? I'm really disappointed in you. You know why? Because we had to watch this horrible, horrible movie when you guys could have watched it on your stupid time show.
I know!
It's a time skip movie.
It totally...
back in time movie.
Like, I didn't think there was...
Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
I didn't think there was a time travel movie out there that had less time travel than Galaxy Quest, but this does.
This is it.
It must have had very little, because please explain to me where the time... I know they went between like dimensions, but where was the time jump?
At the very end.
When Courtney Cox left, she had dead parents.
Oh, right.
You know the old dead parents trick?
The old dead parents trick, huh?
I thought he just went back and saved the plane like Superman.
Oh. Speaking of terrible time travel.
Yeah.
God, that might be... Superman might even be less than Galaxy Quest. That's going to be our next show called Was It Time Travel?
Was it?
We just had a long conversation. We did Demolition Man, and is freezing someone for 50 years time travel?
Sure. I mean, yeah. Sure, for him it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mechanism, right?
So, talking about watching dumb movies, how is this movie 10 times worse than Dune and 10 times more enjoyable to watch?
Right?
Because Dolph Lundgren is so bad.
He's so bad he's good.
Oh, yeah. First of all, his hair is way better than the original He-Man. I think we can all agree on that.
I don't mean phony and bad. I mean, you know, people say bad when they mean good. I mean like, oh, okay, use it in a sentence. Oh, that He-Man is so phony.
Those muscles aren't phony. Masturbation of the universe, sir.
Oh my God. So today, I don't want to grow up, everybody, because if I did, I couldn't watch this and call it a job. That would suck. We watched Masters of the Universe, 1987, PG, 1 hour and 46 minutes, starring the rocket scientist Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, the guy's a genius.
Frank Langella.
Literally is. That's the funny part. And it's like, yeah. Dude looks like he can barely speak sometimes.
I feel like part of this movie was ADR'd. Like, I think sometimes it was in, but I feel like afterwards they're just like, okay, we can't understand this line. Let's get Frank in here.
Dude, there was a couple of things right at the beginning. I was like, was this when he was still learning English after Rocky?
Yeah. Dude, you want to make fun of him, but the guy he was fully just Russian. Learned English.
Yeah, yeah. No, he did. You can tell, like Dez, and I said maybe they did, but he gets better as the movie goes on.
There was a dialect coach in the script. Like he had a dialogue coach and a voice coach, and I feel like even like a third, like vocal. Yeah, there was a lot of like just sound it out.
Him trying to be tender and like yes. I'll protect you. Like it's worse
just
than like
calm down.
I'll protect you. Like I would have much rather had Arnold Schwarzenegger be in there and just be ridiculous about it.
And just to stop, because you know we get so many tweets every week. He is not Russian. He is Swedish.
That's right.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Well, he was Russian and Rocky, and that's who he really is. So,
did you really say that he was?
What's his name? His name's Drago, right? His name's Drago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's his real name.
He's that's his real.
That's his government. That's his government name.
Yeah. That's his. Yep,
that's his real name.
His Christian. What was his?
And I thought I wasn't gonna have it tonight, but I feel like I'm on fire already.
Right, he was born Hans Lundgren. Was it Hans Dolph Lundgren? How do you decide that Dolph is better? Not that. Either one is.
What if his middle name was Hans? So his name would be Dolph Hans Lundgren. So speaking of Man at Arms, Jeremy, you're into that Forged in Fire show, right?
I was. I'm not anymore.
So have you ever seen on the YouTube, the coworker of mine pointed out there's a Man at Arms like YouTube channel, Baltimore Knife Company or something, but they go hard on like nerdy stuff. I was watching this, they like forged a dark saber.
Whoa.
I haven't went through all of
the Darksaber is stupid too, by the way.
I know it's dumb.
It's super dumb.
But it's an actual sword that looks like the Darksaber, and like the way they've dipped it, it's really cool. And they do a bunch of fantasy, you know, like weapons on it.
Yeah. Sure.
It's pretty cool. I haven't really looked, but I want to ask them if I want to, what?
The Klingon thing where it looks like a little like a batleth or batleth. I can't remember how you pronounce it.
God, I was watching Star Trek today while I was editing too.
I'm sorry, Justin. We're totally good. Go.
I mean, I think you guys owe me about a million. So
that's true.
I got you, motherfucker. I got one. No, but I wanted to point out because I know you were into that shit, and it was, you know, pretty cool to see some like. He does one of the blades. I don't know if it's from Soul Calibur or like Final Fantasy, but one of those like kind of like comically oversized blades.
Oh, probably Final Fantasy then.
I did see somebody. I only saw the first half of it because I couldn't find the second half of the dude trying to make an Ashendari.
Oh, really?
But I want to go. I want to like write them and be like, can you make one of these?
Yeah, like, I will give you all my money.
I'll give you anything I have. I don't have anything, but I'll give it to you.
So this movie I was literally, one of my first notes in this movie is, do they even say He-Man? Like, did they steal this? First of all, everyone, this is a canon, not just a canon Golden Globus. And if you guys want to know your 1980s movie history, these are some guys and some companies that you need to know about. They made most of their movies for under $10 million. And half of that they spent on cocaine in order to have the energy to bang these movies out in 3 months.
Was Beastmaster one of them?
I guarantee one of the Beastmasters is.
I think Beastmasters is too low for even canon films.
If you would have taken like one of the new Star Wars movies of the New Order and butt-fucked Beastmaster, the bastard child you would have had would have been this movie.
Justin, I was totally going to say, so I was
dude,
like,
he's got Stormies. He definitely has something similar to the Force. I mean, and those guys, those Storm groups, oh my God, they cannot shoot. Those guys are terrible shots.
I don't know what it was, but I know Jeremy was definitely going to talk about something butt-fucking something else.
No, he was good. Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't think I was going to say that. Well, no, I wasn't going to say that. But here's what I was going to say. When they went to the guy who was building the sets and making all the costumes, and he's like, okay, so what do you want this to look like? The guy just went like, did you see Return of the Jedi? Yeah, just do that.
Oh, a lot of stuff like that. A lot of that.
Literally,
dude, there's
ships.
A lot of Star Wars stuff in here, dude. There's ships, dude. Their speeders.
The ships look like the sail barge.
He looks like, I have written down Jabba's barge. He's coming in on Jabba's barge.
That's exactly what
also,
I said.
Also, it's a little bit of Marvel. You know, that was it, Red Skull, right? From Hydra.
But it's still Skeletor.
Yeah. That's his cousin, White Skull. He's lesser known, you know.
And it's funny. I remember the documentary, the canon documentary, and I don't remember them actually. I mean, I think, especially in the 80s, it was just easy to hear people talking. But I feel like they must have had like CIs on the inside, because basically like what canon was famous for was like, oh, Warner Brothers is putting out a breakdancing movie, so let's put out a shittier breakdancing movie, but faster. And then everyone will win the prize. And it, in some cases, I mean, they put out two breakdancing, or what was not Electric Boogaloo. What were those breakdancing movies?
Thrashing, that or like that was the bike.
No, what was Electric Boogaloo?
Breaking Two, Electric
Boogaloo. Breaking One and Breaking Two.
Breaking and Breaking Two came out 10 months apart. Those movies came out in the same fucking year.
That's crazy.
Like, get your act together, Rafe.
That's the kind of like monsters or these people were.
It's fine.
And I mean, I think in the end, I mean, they made money. It's one of those things where it's just like, you know, we can make a good one good movie every 3 years, or we can make 20 shitty ones.
So, okay.
This is the kind of movie you watch. And you're like, why am I not making movies? Like, I can,
right. I can do this.
I can do this.
She should have been veiled.
Yeah.
Right? We're done. We're done here. Can I get $1 million for the punch up?
Think about the Return of the Jedi theme. Okay. So the bad guy in a hood, right? The whole time uses lightning on the good guy. Right. Okay. The guys who were stormtroopers are actually have Darth Vader helmets.
100%.
There's a sail barge. Right. And then at the very end, when they're fighting, what does he do? He basically throws them off of like a cliff, and that's how he wins. Just like,
yeah. Oh, he does.
It's the Emperor's death. I have that written down. I was like, is he the Emperor? Was he actually the Emperor? Dude, look at the hell. Also, he looks like a fucking old Sith master named Exar Kun. Oh, he also blocks lasers with his sword.
Is there? Okay. Let's back to the beginning.
Okay.
Sorry.
Your history with He-Man. What's your history with He-Man?
I have a ton.
Me too.
That is probably what I had the most of as toys besides like G.I. Joes.
Me too.
Really?
I had Castle Grayskull. I had the little land speeder. I had the cat. I had Man-at-Arms. I had Teela, which was He-Man's beard or sister. I mean, whatever.
I had Orko, which was another movie, but I had Orko.
No, so I had Beastman. You know, like I had, you know.
I had Trapjaw.
Yeah, me too.
I had Trapjaw. I had what's the guy that his faces would change? I had Battle Damage He-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what was that? Was literally, I think his name was Man of Many Faces or something like that. They weren't good at naming people.
No. They're like, what's this guy? He's got a claw for an arm. It's Arm Claw Guy.
Beastman. Mean Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Because this was a classic commercial cartoon.
Oh,
yeah.
Like Mattel was just like, it's so funny to think about that as like, because now we just take it for granted that if you're going to make a toy, you're going to make a cartoon, or if you're going to make a cartoon, you're going to make a toy.
Thanks, George Lucas.
And blah, blah, blah. But like back then it was like,
it's about the merchandise.
We just
merchandise.
It was just like, well, how are kids going to know these toys are on the shelves? It's like, well, let's get, of course, I can't think of his name. The most famous voice actor in history.
Peter Cullen? Or no, not Peter Cullen. That's Optimus Prime. But the other guy I know you're talking about, bro.
Yeah, like get him in here. Get him in here for a weekend. We'll bang out 80 of these.
Yes.
And we'll replay him for 10 years.
Yep, and make a bunch of money.
And we'll be done. I was not. I like, obviously, I had friends that had He-Man and I played with them. But as I've said before, my dad wasn't going to buy me all the He-Men. So, like, that's what I'm wondering with you guys. Because I was like, no, I guess I must have played too many sports. But you guys were big sport head. You guys had played all the sports and had all the He-Man.
I think the reason we've got He-Man, or I think the reason I got He-Man was, I think they were cheap.
Oh.
Compared to other toys. Like,
okay.
I know G.I. Joes are pretty cheap. But Transformers were expensive.
Yeah.
Like especially like as they got bigger.
Yeah.
And they were like made out of metal. They got real expensive. He-Man, I think you could buy like a He-Man dude for like, I don't know, $2-3. And then, you know.
Yeah.
That's for Christmas. I get 3 or 4 of them.
Exactly. Yeah. You have a birthday party. Tell everyone you want He-Man stuff.
You know, you got Castle Grayskull for $30. And then you got
exactly
5 toys for, you know, another $30. So,
dude, I remember getting with one of the toys. I think it was. And I don't think it was Castle Grayskull, but it was one of the bigger like accessories of the He-Man. It came with slime. Do you remember the slime?
Oh, yes.
And just playing with that slime and then playing with it and then like being outside and then getting dirt in it. And then like, next thing you know, it's just like covered in dirt and dust. And it's just like this disgusting like thing. And you know what you do? The people do now? They have that in their cars to pick up dust.
They
use it. I was like, I was doing that when I was like 7 and I didn't know what I was doing. I could have been a genius.
Yeah, dude, we could have been rich, bro. We could have been millionaires.
Your dad said, get this shit out of here, son.
Seriously.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure I got beaten at least once over that shit. If I get this in my fucking Kirby one more time, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, your dad's fucking... The commercial failure of Masters of the Universe, among other films... I forget they did Superman 4, too.
Oh, God, that movie was so bad.
Oh, that movie blew shit.
Contributed to the eventual closure of Canon. Canon closed in the... I feel like they were around until the early 90s, late 80s. Did they...
No, they didn't make it, man.
They just snorted all that money as fast as possible and ran out of all of their money. So this movie had so you guys, did you watch the cartoons? Did you guys just buy the toys because they were cheap?
No, I watched.
Yeah, I definitely. And I was gonna say, I don't remember watching this movie. I definitely watched the cartoons.
I saw this in the theater. I remember going to see this in the theater.
Really? Because I don't. I don't think I ever saw this actually.
Really?
Speaking of canon films, is anything in this movie canon?
Everything.
What?
Tila, Man in Arms. Yeah, Tila and Man in Arms are in it.
Yeah.
Sorceress.
Yeah, almost everything. I think the portal keys even were a thing.
No, that's not in it. No,
that's not a thing. There wasn't something like that.
The Greldor part, that's not in it.
Yeah, that's not.
Beastman is one of the bad guys. I don't think Blade is one of the bad guys. And the weird, like, lizard-looking dude with the long hair.
Blade kills vampires.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blade does kill vampires.
Yeah, I don't know what that guy. I don't remember him either.
Yeah, that guy's not it. The cop. The cop is definitely from the cartoon.
He's from Back to the Future. He's in Back to the Future. He's in, I thought he was in Beverly Hills Cop. He's not, but he's in Top Gun.
Yeah, that's right. Top Gun.
When Skeletor says, Blade, Sauron, the Beastman, Carr. Did anyone think of Dodgeball? Laser, Blade, Blazer. And Ramanan, Ramanistisk, Manah. What a curious quartet.
Just the lineup.
So fucking great. So the little guy was in it. You said
he's not a cartoon.
Not in the show.
That was nowhere in the movie or the
Did he show up after the movie in the cartoons?
Because that guy was in. He was the little weirdo in Thundercats.
You're right. Holy shit.
No, there was a...
That's right.
There was a character that was like a wizard character in the cartoon, and his name was Orko. He was just like a floating jacket with a hat.
Oh, that's right.
The guy who plays him.
That's Billy Barty.
Yeah.
Billy Barty was the actor who played him, which is... Like, he was like top billed.
I thought he was R2-D2. He wasn't R2-D2, right?
No. I can't remember who that guy is, what that guy's name is.
Now I'm being littlest.
Yeah, you're littlest.
It's funny, though. It's like, we have this kind of magical movie. Well, we better get a little person in there.
Yeah.
We better figure it out.
It was the 80s. You had to put a little person in every magical movie. You're right. Holy cow.
Hey, we can have a little person or a black guy. What do you want?
But only one.
Little person, not, come on, settle down.
Not have both. I couldn't tell if his mask was broken for half of the show or if he was actually winking on it, like doing a like scrunchy, like thinking face on purpose.
A Billy Barty?
Like, I feel like his, yeah. Yeah.
I think if you ever watch him in movies, he's kind of got like a weird, like, eye that.
He got a wonk eye, dude.
Oh, does he?
Sure. Yeah, he's got like if you go back and watch the movies.
Because it's weird, because there's some, it must just be when they've been filming all day and he's tired, because there's plenty of scenes where both eyes are wide open.
Right.
He showed up. I keep seeing like the underrated and genius character, Gwildor's History Explored, the most underrated and genius character of Masters of the Universe.
He was definitely the smartest cat in their group for sure.
So I think this is a brilliant idea. Like if you're going to make a He-Man movie in the 80s and you know, you haven't made one yet, I think this is a brilliant idea to bring them into our reality.
Sure.
Like, I think that's a pretty smart idea.
That's why I was like, I don't think that I sell this movie, because I'm like, so we're on Earth.
We are on Earth.
So here, look at this picture. Oh, wait, can you guys see it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's got a little winky eye there.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Billy Barty. I didn't mean to like make fun of you.
I think he's passed a long time ago.
Make either way, all.
Oh, so he's definitely can hear this. Jesus, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. He's listening to all this. So he was Gwildor was introduced into the mythology with his appearance in the 1987 live action movie. After the release of the movie, he appears in an accompanying mini comic.
Oh, so.
Okay, I don't know.
While you're reading that, I had a comic book of He-Man back that I got in like the early
80s. Hey, what? You don't have to brag, dude. We're all friends here.
I'm not even starting bragging.
About He-Man. Jesus.
He-Man fights Superman.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
And Superman punched him in the asshole and turned him inside out, right?
You saw it too?
As he's lying, that was like a porno he watched. But he just doesn't want to tell anybody.
So they is there any legitimacy to the He-Man lore that would make him comparable to Superman at all?
Oh yeah,
he's just a big strong dude, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's supposed to be super strong.
Yeah, he could be like he's like a
like Superman
strong? Colossus Hulk type thing.
Oh. Yeah.
Like in one cartoon, he picks up Castle Grayskull because it had gotten moved or something, and he throws it.
He picks up Castle Grayskull.
He picks it up and throws it. And I think I don't know if he throws it to another planet.
Wow.
Or if he just throws it to someplace on that planet, but I'm pretty sure he throws it.
You know, all I'm saying to you, Dez, is asked and answered.
Exactly.
I think we're done here. I'd wrap it up probably.
So. When you assume that Superman doesn't even fly, he's just able to jump so far, it appears as flying.
No, that's not true. He flies.
He flies, dude.
I don't think historically.
You're thinking of Hulk.
No. You're talking so originally in the early comics, in the like the first ones.
Yeah.
Yes, that's all he did was jump. But then after
they have
that,
officially
like
changed
50s and 60s, it changed. Yes, his power has changed. Yeah, he can fly.
He is Superman.
Yes.
He got charged up enough after, you know, after adolescence.
I want to fuck up some Robbie's ribs and chicken. I'll tell you that. Holy shit.
Share.
Oh,
that was pretty funny how it was just like, oh, they're animal rib bones. They're just like,
he's like, this was a dead animal.
No, like,
I know. Oh. I know.
What are you guys eating?
I think there's a DeLorean in the Robbie's parking lot.
No.
No way. Because I actually said, I was like, so the DeLorean in this movie is like an old Cadillac.
It's true.
It's either, I think it's actually a Fiero. God, I told Kelly, like, if I could get a classic car, I'd get a fucking Fiero.
Those are so lame. This dude that used to work for our company.
I wanted one of those growing up.
Dude, this dude that used to work for our company, that was all he drove. He had like five of them.
What?
Yeah, like okay, over time, he would get rid of one and get another one. And his girlfriend had one too.
So they come to, they so Grindel, Grindor makes a time machine base. Well, he makes a portal. It's not necessary, or we don't know that it's a time machine yet.
Yeah. He makes a portal for them to escape.
Well, he just makes one just because he can. He's just one of those dudes that just makes stuff. And Skeletor finds out he makes this really cool portal. Of course, Skeletor wants it because then he can zip zap around the universe and overtake it and destroy everything. And then so he steals it from Grindor. We find out that Grindor has another one. And so Skeletor's like, well, I need that one. So then I'll be the only person that has the power. So when they go to our world, so they're panicking, they're in a fight. Skeletor is trying to kill everybody. They're trying to rescue the princess, and they mash a bunch of buttons. They accidentally wind up on Earth. So they leave Castle Grayskull without the what's it called? The time warp thing.
The key. What is it called?
The cosmic key.
Cosmic key.
And then, but they grapple it. They send the grapple through it. What?
What are you doing, Dez? What are you doing? You trying to make sense out of this movie? Come on.
How did they grapple it?
You know what happened? They were like, wait, hold on. They just jumped through the portal without the key.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
We're gonna have to film something to make this make sense.
Because like, what would have made more sense if they had thrown it? Like, let's say like Grindor jumps in the portal and then He-Man's like, take this and throws it in.
Right.
And
or
then
jumps
it gets,
through.
Or, well, no.
With it. With
it in his something
hand.
That's not attached.
Right.
Like because the cosmic key has to get lost so that Courtney Cox can get involved in her boyfriend.
Lieutenant Tom Paris, you mean?
From what?
From Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, yes, he is.
Dude, and he's a keyboard player. He's just, that's how what he does. He plays Matchbox 20 at you on the keyboard. At you.
I love the synth. I love the synth, the 80s synth too. So awesome.
I love it. This is like the second movie in a row.
When he starts figuring it out, he's all.
This is like the second movie in a row. So we just watched My Science Project.
Great movie.
Jeremy's favorite movie of all time.
Yep.
And they refer to the time machine as the gizmo the whole time through. And they call this cosmic key a gizmo a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Gizmo's a gremlin.
They keep saying it's Japanese. It must be like no one knows what it is. It must be Japanese. It's like, God, we so thought funny. The Japanese were just wizards in the early 80s.
They were.
Fucking Doc Marty tells, oh, Jeff, what are you talking about, Doc? Japan, all the greatest stuff comes from Japan.
He's like, okay.
What are you talking about, Doc?
Ronald Reagan, the actor.
Was this the synthesized thing that made them like able to go over the... Is that not it?
That's it.
Okay. So when he's playing the tones on the keys, okay, so the one that he's, whenever they push the red button, that's held together with Phillips head screwdrivers too. Did you notice that?
No,
those are magical, dude. They are very good conductivity for magic. How dare you? I always love it when magic and technology.
Guys, can't we just cover up the screws?
With some putty. Put some putty on there. It's fine.
I was shocked when that thing started to move all by itself. Like, holy shit, someone put a motor in that thing?
Right?
Holy, like a impressive player piano motor.
Yeah. So anyways, so the music that plays, I swear to you, when you were waiting in line to see the movie Captain EO at Disneyland.
Oh!
You play that song, and you play that song next to it, it's almost identical. I'm telling you.
I'm going to do you one better.
We're going to fight. You do it better. I'm going to solve this.
I'm going to do you one better. And Dez,
do it up.
No, solve this and I'm going to do you one better. The opening theme of the movie
is your ringtone.
Is Willy Wonka, dude. The Willy Wonka song.
What?
Into a land of sweet imagination. Isn't that Willy Wonka?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Come with me.
Yeah.
And you'll see a world of pure imagination.
That one. Listen to it, dude. I'm telling you.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Okay.
I am. Wow. I'm about to stop this podcast and go listen to that. Oh, it's Bill Conti. That guy's somebody. Okay. So he was the composer for Rocky.
Oh, wow.
For Your Eyes Only.
Great movie.
Karate Kid Part 2. The Right Stuff.
Dang.
So let me see. I bet. Let's get to it. When would Beverly Hills Cop had come out?
84.
80? No.
Maybe 80.
I think you're right. 84, 84, 85.
86 latest.
Okay. No, he didn't do it.
So do you think the swords that were being swung around were actually heavy, or was that Dolph Lundgren acting? Or is he just like brand with swords, just not very good?
I feel like they gave him...
They look real.
A heavy...
They look pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just like leaded, like a aluminum sword that's like leaded or something to give it some weight. Because the weight looked awkward.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely was not a balanced real sword. I feel like it was like a real prop that had a bunch of, you know, lead in it to make it feel awesome so that people would spend a bunch of money on it. But that's one of those props. Like, I guarantee if we looked harder, like we would see that exact sword in 12 other movies.
It looks like the one from Conan the Barbarian, kind of.
Yeah. Very. Mm-hmm.
Can we just say too, Courtney Cox and Frank Langella playing Skeletor, they're going 110%.
Yes.
You can, this dude, if you read some of the articles, Frank Langella says like he really loved playing Skeletor.
Yeah.
I think he wished the movie would have been better. But Courtney Cox, you can see like, she's like, what'd you say?
He's awesome. Frank Langella. I used to confuse him with Christopher Lee when I was young.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but Courtney Cox, you can see like, oh, she's a great actress. She's given a 110% in this terrible movie.
Yeah. She's excited to be in front of a camera. I mean, in her mind, like, this guy was just in Rocky IV, like one of the biggest movies ever.
Right.
Like, let's do this. And what did she do? I just want to look at her, her trajectory after this.
Yeah, because right after this, she does, in like, what, 93, she does Ace Ventura.
She's in 19 episodes of Family Ties?
Oh, yeah, she dated Alex Keaton.
What?
That's right.
Did they get married?
No, I don't think so.
What? That's right, because the girl he eventually married on the show was
on the show.
Actually his wife, yeah. 19 episodes. Like, wow. That's, I got to find some late Family Ties episode.
You know, that might have been where I saw her first.
It must have been where I saw her first, too. There's no way I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Wow. And then she stumbled a lot. Until Ace Ventura, she's stumbling. Like, I.
Nothing between Masters of the Universe and Ace Ventura?
Oh, there's a ton. There's a ton. They're, like, just listen, just to see, like, holy shit, she was toiling in the industry. Cocoon the Return, I'll Be Home for Christmas, Roxanne, Till We Meet Again, Blue Desert, Curiosity Kills, Mr. Destiny, Shaking the Tree, Morton and Hayes, Battling for Baby, The Opposite Sex and How to Live with Them, Dream On, The Trouble with Larry, and then boom, Ace Ventura.
And then Friends.
No, then she does some other shit.
Friends has happened to like 95, right?
Yeah, well, I forget that Friends, when you're looking at IMDb, Friends shows up at the end of the run.
Oh.
So Friends doesn't show up until 2004. So, but you're right. Yeah, she, in 94, she does a Seinfeld episode, Ace Ventura, and starts Friends.
Oh, okay.
Boom, boom, boom. And then she does a bunch of crap because she's so busy doing,
yeah,
you know, doing Friends.
Well, she did Scream, too.
Who cares? Yeah, she did.
Like a lot of the Screams.
God, I forget that she's in Ace Ventura.
Wow. Sorry, everyone. That was a real rant. You got a real Friends head here. So you give me a deep dive on a Friends character, I'm going to take it every time. So, yeah. So just kind of So now it's just of course, you know, the bad guys want the time thing and the good guys want the time thing. And we don't get a chance because this is such a low budget movie. I remembered seeing He-Man like really living in America for a minute. Like I thought we got to see him like go to the mall and like try to fit in and like go to a drive-through. Yeah. Make minimum wage and pay rent. Like I thought there was more of a fish out of water. This movie happens in one night and the only person that sees him is, and I will refer to him now and for the rest of this podcast, is Principal Strickland. Is this not like, I feel like this is.
What about the janitor? Just shows up trying to give a little law and order and then he catches some strays.
Poor Carl.
Poor guy.
Yeah, he gets it, dude. He's got his Letterman jacket on. He fucking scored 4 touchdowns in that one game.
He just had a big C on his jacket. I think he brought that from home. And by the way, everybody,
C stands for clean.
This podcast will last as long as a parsec eon.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of that.
What was the thing they kept saying about?
They said parsec 2 or 3 times.
When the moonrise was going to come in like some weird time thing.
Yeah.
The one thing that they couldn't get straight, they kept saying all hell's going to break loose when the moon rises, or all hell's going to break loose when the moon reaches its peak. All hell's going to break loose when the moon reaches its zenith. All hell's going to
they don't ever say why it's important either.
Not even a little bit. And we don't know what actual part of the moon is going to
during its azimuth. The moon will, all hell will break loose.
As it waxes and wanes simultaneously.
And then I love when Courtney Cox is just like, oh, you know, my dead mom must be here. I should probably go get the magical item that we need and give it to her. It's like, oh my God.
How is this movie not 88 minutes long?
Yeah.
Because there's lots of lasers.
It, you know, they did some reshoots too, I think.
Well, the last 5 minutes... they reshot that for $18 and a bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a good bucket of chicken, though. Hey, speaking of buckets of chicken, when they put that bucket, a whole bucket of chicken in the, listen, you never microwave chicken. That's just disgusting.
Yeah.
Like it is, it just ruins, it turns chicken into rubber. It's disgusting.
Heat up the oven.
Exactly.
Heat up the I buy cold chicken at Safeway all the time because you put that.
I'd rather eat it cold.
You put that shit on a baking sheet.
Exactly.
You are just fine in 20 minutes.
I mean, it's downright un-American.
Sorry, finish your.
That was it. Like,
tell him about.
Never put it.
Well, then it blows up.
Yeah, who cares?
Why does it? Did he drop a ring in it? Did he stab it with a fork first? Why did his bucket of chicken explode?
No, they were Evil Lynn was telling them to blow it up because it was interfering with them finding the key.
Oh, did someone shoot it?
No, they had some like iPad thing that they were using.
Oh, they did it from a distance. They beep boop pop.
Yeah.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
Plot holes in Master of the Universe abound.
Listen, Dez was probably, you know, editing three different podcasts at that time. I'll give you a pass.
I don't edit movies I have to watch for the show. I only edit with Star Trek Generations movies going. Yeah,
because you have them memorized, that's why.
Exactly.
Dude, what's up with the mind replay gun? What was that about?
That was dumb.
That I think those would be very useful.
Well, yes. Where did I leave my keys?
This is what actually happened.
Oh yeah, the replay gun. I forgot what you were saying for a minute. Yeah. I miss it when movies just used sparks in place of explosions.
Oh yeah.
Or the slow-mo like dive over like a counter to like, oh, so they don't have to show the explosion. Like, whoa, they barely got away from it. See how well they recovered? You didn't even see flames or anything.
Okay, guys, I'm looking at the IMDb trivia. We're really close to the Star Trek we were just talking about. Listen to this. The Skeletor mask found new life on the sets of Star Trek The Next Generation and Star Trek Deep Space Nine as the face of a skull-faced alien that Lieutenant Worf often fights on the holodeck. That's great. But Frank Langella made a series of guest appearances on Deep Space Nine, while Robert Duncan McNeil guest starred on The Next Generation before getting a starring role in on Star Trek Voyager. That's Lieutenant Paris.
Oh,
okay. Now I'm not done.
Wow.
In addition, Chelsea Field is married to Star Trek Enterprise cast member Scott Bakula.
Oh, yes.
I'm not done. And Gwynne Gilliford, Julie's mom, is the real life mother of Star Trek cast member Chris Pine.
Wow, that's better than that Kevin Bacon game.
If something happened in that movie and it killed like the entire crew, we would have no Star Trek.
Whoa!
Or we'd have a really different Star Trek.
A very different Star Trek.
Right?
Wow.
That's wild.
Anytime you want to connect Scott Bakula and Chris Pine, Jeremy, you just do it.
Okay with me.
That is absolute.
That lifted us up, right? Totally made us happy. Get ready.
How many of them are responsible for episode one? All right, Justin, I need three things.
What do you need three things?
I need a bosonic tesseract, an octane rectifier, and a keyboard.
I'm not going to touch my octane rectifier, buddy.
Justin.
Not again.
Justin, I need three things.
Your wife's going to have to scratch a big check for that.
I need a Shure 57 microphone, a 56-inch subwoofer, and a peanut butter Twix.
Hey, you know what's funny? I've been looking for peanut butter Twixes. You're right.
They're gone.
I think they're gone.
They're gone?
They're gone.
I'm going to get you a regular peanut butter Twix, a case of them, and a box of peanut butter. You can just dip them.
Just dip them. I might have to do, just give me some wafers and some Skippy, and I'll make it work. I'm going to do it. Like, I kind of looked on Amazon. I think I might have found
You could get those chocolate wafer candies and then just like peanut butter between them and caramel, like make a triple decker. Do you guys sell black tar heroin? I need rubber bands and thumbtacks and black tar heroin.
That's what my mom used to always make that joke, because my mom was really good at raising children. Like, yeah, it's like when you go into a grocery store and in the middle of the night you buy a razor blade and a mirror and a comb just to throw off the cashier.
Last note I have, when he got him to the place where the battle was going on with, you know, the booth from Pulp Fiction that they were eating in, and, you know, like just a little corner of the building, they got like half the car.
Oh God, yes. Oh, that was so, I was so sad that they didn't use that at any other time in the movie, because that was a brilliant portal design.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
To like, yeah, take a chunk of whatever you were doing. Oh, it was like a play. You get those play sets that would just be like a corner of an alley.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh.
So So everyone out there, so the end of this, I forget how, I always think that like the last 15 minutes of this movie is blacked out, but it's all filmed. What were they like? What was that reshoot? Like, did they not film a final battle, or what was the final battle that they filmed instead? Like, why, how was the final battle not He-Man versus Skeletor? And like, why? Because they obviously, when they did the reshoot, they're like, okay, whatever we did before isn't working. Let's just put He-Man and Skeletor in front of the screen because we already, like, and we like, already took Skeletor's the set
like
down.
Disgusted with himself. He's just like, He-Man.
It's so mad.
Trying to torture you. You're boring me.
We're sorry to go way back. Were the stormtroopers in He-Man at all?
No.
No.
So I think they weren't explicit about this, but apparently the point was that they were robots because they didn't want He-Man killing people on screen.
Sure, yeah.
So they made these side, but they don't really, I don't know that they're explicitly robots. I think you might, that might be in like the liner notes somewhere. They're like, oh yeah, no, He-Man didn't kill anybody, just these robots.
Yeah, they never said that.
Yeah, I was wondering if I missed it.
Those were not the droids that you were looking for.
Yeah.
I saw them blow up or something. So yeah, so the end scene is just poorly, poorly lit. Like I said, it's a great, like, there, we're literally like, we're on a set. We're in Castle Grayskull. It looks great. They're acting against real things. And then it just shifts camera angles and it's black. And there's one spotlight. And when you can see something in the background, it's just a picture, the last picture they took of the set before they tore it. They just fight. And then and then He-Man wins. He Darth Vader's Skeletor off.
Yeah.
Down the tunnel. And then they send you know, they figure out, of course, they need what's his name? What's Courtney Cox's boyfriend? He has Billy
Kevin.
Kevin? No.
I think his name's Kevin, right? In the movie?
Kevin. Yeah, it was Kevin.
I feel like, because I want to say Billy Corrigan, but I know that's a real person.
That's the Smashing Pumpkins guy.
His name is Lieutenant Tom Paris.
Get it right, Desmond. Anyway, he's not totally useless through the movie, but we're just totally, it's Kevin Corrigan. So I was almost right. And we keep dragging him along.
This is Billy's little brother.
Exactly, Kevin.
Not as famous.
Okay, Corrigan. And the whole movie, Courtney Cox is looking for a reason to break up with him because she's leaving town because her parents died, and her parents died because she wanted to stay home and study. So her parents crashed in an airplane, and so
it was definitely her fault.
Definitely her fault. So Corrigan. Billy Corrigan's little brother figures out how to play this Japanese synthesizer and get it to work and send them home. And it's funny because they're like, because Griswold is like, you sure you don't want to go back in time or forward in time? I can send you wherever you want.
Griswold.
And Courtney Cox is like, nah, I'm fine. Let's just send us back. And then right before they go through the portal, Courtney Cox goes, no, wait. But Clark Griswold. He knew she'd want to go back.
So. You serious, Clark?
Which is, I mean, I guess we should have known that her parents died recently because the house is just packed up and, you know, she's graduating high school. So obviously she hasn't been like living alone for 2 years, but like her parents obviously died like a week before.
Okay, guys, listen.
Worm farm went tits up, you know.
I'm a horrible kid, but let's just say you're Courtney Cox and your parents tragically die in a plane crash. It's your senior year in high school.
I'm not leaving.
You're living in a house
for free,
a very nice house by yourself, right? That you own now. And you probably got some pretty good life insurance. And somebody comes to you and goes, listen, I have a magic flute that will go back in time and get your parents. I'll be like, hold on. Let's think about
this.
Can
we wait till the end of the year?
Give me the summer. I want my summer.
It's a time machine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We can do this at any time.
Jeremy.
I graduate the June the 13th. Let's just say after, you know what? Let's say after Labor Day.
Desmond, go.
What do we want? Time travel.
Time travel. When do we want it?
It's irrelevant.
Love it. Desmond, I want three things.
I want dead parents. an empty house.
Beacon's box is a
floor. And Billy Corrigan's younger brother.
As your boyfriend.
Here's what we do. I'm going to be like, they're like, listen, we can go back in time, right? And save your parents. And I'm going to be like, okay. Or we could go back in time a little bit further and make sure that they buy more life insurance.
Hey, you know what? And this is coming from...
And I'm getting me an almanac.
Hey,
Mom. I'm the only person on the show that doesn't have dead parents yet. And they're laughing harder than I am.
That's true.
You guys. Thought I watched too much true crime. Saying.
I'm just saying.
And I love my parents. But I'm still like, okay, hold on.
But I'm 18, everybody. I'm not responsible. Okay. So these aren't before we go into this, are laser guns in He-Man? Is that a thing?
They do have stuff like that, yeah.
They did have that, yeah. But it wasn't
quite that much.
I think is this true, Justin? I think the whole thing was there was two halves of the sword, right?
Oh.
And Skeletor had one in the cartoon. He-Man had the other.
Yes.
And he was always trying to get them together. And I think that's right.
Yeah, that is right.
Was that the TV show? Okay.
No, that is definitely the cartoon for sure. But I do remember that because I remember having a toy that was two halves of the sword.
Yeah, I remember the toy, but I didn't know if that was actually coming from the toy lore or the cartoon lore.
I think it was both.
Okay.
I think it was both. Yeah.
Guys, I seem to remember that Skeletor had a sword that looked exactly like He-Man's one.
Yeah, his was just like a little bit more like necromancy.
Maybe he was always trying to get the sword. I think that was what it was. He was always trying to get the sword because that was the source of He-Man's power, right? Because
he would put the two halves together and then it would be like...
No, it wasn't the two halves. He would just reach behind him. It was always behind him. No one ever looked behind Prince Adam, so that they would have looked behind him. Then they would have seen that he always had a sword behind him.
All right. Ratings time. I dug into, I was like, there's got to be a He-Man game in here. There wasn't a He-Man game on my main list. And these levels aren't very, they're not very exciting as they are, but they do have a little bit of a definition, which makes them kind of exciting. So everyone out there, we rank our movies based on video game ratings. Our video game difficulty levels, we hope to find something that is kind of relevant to the movie we're watching, and none of this matters, so who cares? This is a four tier. We have level one, level two, level three, level four. Level one, few fireballs, each take only one hit. Level two, more fireballs, some take two hits. Level three, more fireballs, some take three hits. Level four, so many fireballs, some take six hits. So I guess we'll rate this on fireball. We have few fireballs, two hit fireballs, three hit fireballs, six hit fireballs. Jeremy, you go first.
Well, you know where I'm going. I'm going three hit fireballs. This movie,
level three.
This movie is nothing but pure nostalgia for me. I mean, it's terrible. Don't get me wrong. It's terrible. But I feel like I get more out of this than from Dune. I'd watch this again before I'd watch Dune.
Absolutely.
100%.
Totally.
Yeah, if you're like, what, you got to watch one of these movies tonight.
That said it best, terrible, but infinitely more entertaining.
Yeah, it totally is. And you get a young Courtney Cox just giving it all she's got. Frank Langella giving it all she's got. And honestly, Dolph Lundgren's giving it all he's got too. I mean, he's acting his butt off.
I love it when Frank Langella gives it all she's got.
I
mean, she should give it all she's got as well.
If the writers of this movie had seen a dozen cartoons, it would have been a great movie. Unfortunately,
right.
Unfortunately, they knew their grandchildren played with the toys and they wrote the whole movie based on that.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Was the lady like the Maleficent lady? Was she famous at all? I don't know. Was she?
Oh, okay. So I remember who she is in the movie. Hold on. They Live, or the Rowdy Roddy Piper movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's the, she is the good guy until you find out at the very end. Spoiler alert.
Dang it.
Oh, sorry.
Dang it.
Sorry. I wrote it for you. I know.
Yeah, it's only a 30-year-old movie. Probably more.
Probably close to 40.
Spoiler alerts. Luke and Leia are siblings.
Oh,
that how it always goes?
Like, wait a second, but what, the kissing?
Destined, you know, have consensual sex with your sister? That's Empire. I think you missed large chunks of that movie.
What if she's really hot?
Still no.
Nope, afraid not.
I am going to give this a 2. I'm not going to go quite as high as Jeremy because I don't have the nostalgia, basically. Like, this is, you know, infinitely more rewatchable. But I have no, like, I knew friends that had He-Man. I never really played with action figures. You know, I wasn't that creative of a kid. Like, I had some, I dicked around with them, but I never, like, made sets and battled for, you know, I would just be like, oh, look what this guy does. All right, whatever. But I give this more fireballs, but they only take 2 hits. Bang, bang. Bang, bang.
So nostalgia 3, production value 1. I'm going to give it a 2 because Drogo killed Apollo.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Whoa.
But no, it's
bringing back old beefs.
No, but it's definitely like, it's way more.
It was supposed to be an exhibition.
Have you watched Rocky IV anytime recently?
No.
Dude, Apollo is such an American asshole. I'm so glad Drago put.
Oh, don't you dare say it.
Hey, so,
how dare you?
Oh, my God. I don't care about Carl Weathers. I'm sorry. Carl Weathers, I will take you to Burger King anytime you want. I'll be happy to do it. But Apollo is a fucking brick.
You take his bone? You put his
what's his name? What's his name?
You got soup. You get free refills.
As a development. Free refills.
Yes, Carl Weathers.
He was just Carl Weathers.
It's a wonderful restaurant,
dude. He is great. He's
so
great.
God, that guy's that show.
If that guy's straight, I'm sober. I'm telling you, watch season 4 and 5 again. It's there's a little something to be desired, but the characters are all of the actors are where they need to be, and it's just there's still so many great jokes in there that are
okay. I'll have to watch it then.
And watch 1 through 3 first so you get really like back into it, and it's like,
yeah,
oh right, anytime Jason Bateman talks it's hilarious. And then just roll into season 4.
Thanks a lot, Wheel of Time. On that note, I'm gonna get out of here.
All right. Have a good night. I will see you guys.
I want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us.
Oh, kid. Real quick. Sorry, you say that again, Jason. So, Justin, so we get a good one.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Good journey. We have a saying in Eternia.
Good night and good journey.
I'll see you later.
Peace out, motherfucker.
The end of every podcast is the beginning of a new podcast, and that's why here we say good journey.
Good journey.
Good journey.
Oh, dude. Okay, so you're going to have to cut this part out.
I am not average. I am not ordinary. I am a masterpiece. You know I do it for me. I am not perfect. No, that's imaginary. But I'm a masterpiece. You know I do it for me. And all my colors and paints, all my lines and my shapes, every move that I make, I do it for me. I am not basic. It's self-explanatory.
You can cut that out. Sorry, I was.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.